America tonight, Kate Delaney. How you doing in those nooks and crannies? They got a drought in California. They're trying to pump up the volume to grab some money. $7 million worth of dollars, bonds, plus to do what they can to get water into the local communities. I don't know that $7 million would stretch quite far enough. That's why there's a whole bunch of that going on. In the meantime, we have radiation detected near a New Mexico nuclear waste site. Got a problem with a leak in Fukushima in Japan. Yikes. And the buzz in the backyard still over the weather, whether it's high winds, snow, cold temperatures, or just people are weary of the conversation and are so ready for something new. Time to turn the page on spring. It can't get here fast enough for so many people. Let's start first with what's going on with the radiation deal. The radiation that's been picked up in New Mexico is this story at the waste site. Carlsbad, New Mexico, the U.S. Department of Energy, and that's how this all broke out, appointed a team to investigate it because they started to detect more of it. It's the only underground nuclear waste repository in operation. That's right there in New Mexico in Carlsbad. So they think that they, well, first thing they're concerned about is the water just in general in that area. An underground monitor at the plant near Carlsbad detected airborne radiation on Friday night, last Friday night, and an independent monitor said Wednesday they found radioactive isotopes in an air sensor a half mile from the plant. So then you go further, and a filter from a monitor outside of the plant had trace amounts of plutonium, for example, and the detective levels are the highest ever detected at or around that site, but below what's supposedly unsafe by the EPA. So they're coming up with a plan for people to re-enter the plant. And the shipments to the plants have been, the plant rather, has been suspended. No shipments were scheduled from February 14th through March 10th anyway because of what they do, maintenance work annually. The readings were detected 2 weeks after a truck hauling salt in an underground mine at the site caught fire, and that stopped everything for a couple of days. It's the, as I said, it's the first and only geological nuclear repository, so it takes plutonium contaminated waste, in other words, from places like Los Alamos National Laboratory, which isn't too far away, and other defense projects, and buries it in rooms cut from salt beds. And it's been that way. I used to live in New Mexico. It's been that way since 99. They've had that up and going. So that's the deal on that. Not good if you live near there. You'd have to be concerned. They're detecting levels that are higher than they've ever detected. But, oh, the EPA says it's still safe. I wouldn't be thrilled with that. Then at Fukushima, they had problems with contaminated water. What they're saying is they had 100 metric tons of that contaminated water that leaked out of a tank. And the power company said the leak was probably not likely to have reached the ocean. But, you know, you think about 2011, the earthquake, the tsunami. I think the public trust there has been rocked, let's say. They've had a string of mishaps and disclosures that they haven't made and that kind of stuff. And so when they say water is unlikely to have reached the ocean, I don't think that gives, I think that gives them pause. The plant said that the water overflowed from a large storage tank there on Wednesday after a valve had remained open by mistake and it sent too much contaminated water into another holding area. So a worker that was patrolling the area spotted drips of water leaking from a drain attached to the side of the tank. That's how they discovered it. Boy, they're sloppy with some things at that plant. That's what I would say. And that level is almost equal to that was recorded in last year's leak of 300 metric tons of contaminated water that was deemed a serious incident or level 3. So it's kind of the same story. Yeah, I wouldn't think I would be really comfortable with them saying, oh, it's probably unlikely, string that together with unlikely, that's affecting the ocean close by. Yeah, I'd say it's pretty smart to question it. I think you could question that, right? And then it kicks into that whole thing about nuclear sites, because I'm one that I think we're missing the boat on nuclear power, but when you start to have accidents all over the place, that gets people nervous, and for good reason, because you're not really sure who are you trusting. Are you getting the true story? Well, the people who are making the big bucks off of the plants, they don't, or the waste site, they want to try to avoid having to have ownership for some of the things that are happening. And they, you know, there's that thin line between alarming people and informing people anyway. And especially when in this country, when you say anything about nukes, nuclear related, nuclear plants, nuclear waste, any of that, it seems as though, you know, the Chernobyls, the Three Mile Islands, really, that really hangs in the minds of a lot of people. Now, Fukushima, of course, in 2011. Coming up on America Tonight, we're going to talk with Horace Cooper about minimum wage, fair or foul. What I like about Horace Cooper is he's got a solution. If minimum wage is not doing what it's supposed to do, what could do for the people who find themselves paycheck to paycheck barely, what could give them a leg up that works, that's affordable, and helps everyone across the board? He has some good ideas. Exemptions that work and expire after a certain amount of time, for one. And why it's a myth as to what minimum wage at 10-10 would look like across the board. By the way, speaking of the president and the president's push, you know, for the minimum wage deal, the president's numbers have actually rebounded in a very big way. The rolling average, 3-day rolling average on the Gallup poll for Obama is up to 46. So he's at 46% approval. That's big when you think of where he was at one point in the low 30s. So that has turned around. You know, was that the State of the Union, which has now been almost a month? So is it kind of a lag of that, of things that have happened? What is it? Is it the stock market going a little gangbusters? What's pushing the numbers up for the second term president? Horace Cooper, coming up in just a few. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America. And he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what Pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier. And I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Friends, this is Alex Jones for MidasResources.com. For more than 15 years, I have exclusively used Midas Resources for all my precious metal needs. Whether it's bullion or collectibles you're looking for, Midas Resources is simply the best. I own my gold as a hedge against inflation. This Federal Reserve fiat currency could go the way of the Deutschmark and the Weimar Republic anytime. In these historically dangerous times, it makes sense to physically hold gold and silver. Midas already has some of the best deals in the industry. But if you give them a call and mention the radio special, they will give you a list of the day's super specials. Midas brokers are standing by to answer all your questions at 800-686-2237. They also have a lot of informative free literature explaining the opportunities and risk of holding precious metals. They are ready to answer your questions at 800-686-2237. Again, that's 800-686-2237.
We live in a complicated society. Stressful issues are always popping up. Have you ever been treated unfairly by someone? Have you ever been overcharged for a repair? Have you ever signed a contract or a document? Worried about identity theft? How many times have you been in those unique situations where you just wanted to call an attorney to find out if you're right or wrong, or what your legal rights are? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what do you think about first? That's right. Who do you call, and how much will it cost? Our friends at Legal Shield have found a solution. With a nationwide network of 6,900 attorneys who average over 19 years of experience, Legal Shield's law firms take over 40,000 calls per week helping their members. For less than $20 per month, you can have access to Legal Shield on everything from the trivial to the traumatic. Let Legal Shield stand up for your rights at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com. Or call 855-340-SAVE. 855-340-7283.
Minimum wage here really for a long time, but specifically because of the President's State of the Union address, probably for the last couple of weeks, last month actually. In our wings is Horace Cooper, Project 21 co-chair, and a former official at the U.S. Department of Labor. That makes this even more interesting as we talk to Horace about minimum wage and the suggestion that the Congressional Budget Office is saying that about 500,000 jobs would be lost, maybe even up to a million. So is the idea of moving federal minimum wage from $7.25 to $10.10 really a job killer? Horace, thanks for coming on the show.
Well, thank you for having me on. And absolutely, this is a real question for the country to have to grapple with. A lot of polls show that the concept of a minimum wage increase is popular. But the scientific consensus is that there are consequences that come from it. And this latest CBO report demonstrates that many of the very people who are working the hardest, who are the least skilled, and who are needing these jobs the most are likely to see themselves impacted in a way that's very, very adverse and that's not being explained to them.
Yeah, explain that to us. What does that mean? So somebody says, oh, Horace, come on. There's going to be more jobs that are going to be created. What do you mean that the hardworking people, the ones who maybe don't have degrees, who desperately need the job to feed their family, to get through the bills, how come you think they'll be penalized?
Okay, well, first statistics that we need to understand is the prototypical minimum wage employee is not the breadwinner of a household. The individuals are typically very young. They're typically very unskilled. But they're also increasingly retirees who are in supplementing their income. And they may be individuals in a family that already has some income coming in that are just wanting to provide an increase. in the case of the young people and in the case of the seniors, those people, if 500,000 of them were to lose their jobs, that's saying to them that they're forced on a far more reduced lifestyle, particularly, say, the seniors. On the other hand, the young people are going to forfeit their first, second, or third opportunities to develop the experience, to develop the skills, so that they can get sort of the good-paying, median income-type jobs. Essentially, what his plan does by saying we're going to try to lift 1.5 million people who are living in poverty up above the poverty level at the cost of 500,000 or as much as a million, is just go into your typical neighborhood and say to yourself, I'm going to go to every four houses on this block, and I'm going to take a bulldozer, and I'm going to knock it down, kick everybody out, and tell them fend for themselves. But at the same time, I'm going to take that land, hand it over to the neighbors so that their value would increase. Would that be a fair trade that most Americans would consider? I think not.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you. Is it just that when, yeah, I'm, you know, maybe I'm being hypercritical of the president. I don't know. But when you do the State of the Union, there seems to be, or at least there has been for this president, it's a lot of these, a lot of this kind of flowery promises that, look, if we just do this, this is how we can solve the dilemma of jobs in America. We move it up to 1010. We're going to do it for the federal workers. Come on, Congress, if you would just, you know, roll up your sleeves and get to business, this is what will happen. Is it because it's not really flushed out and it just sounds really good and we sound really nasty if we don't think that you should increase minimum wage, that that's part of this?
If we were dealing with this in 2009, maybe I might be more open-minded about it. Now I realize this is pure political gamesmanship. And the problem is, it costs people. Just like the Affordable Care Act is likely to lead to more denial of treatment and care, the single largest group of people who are beneficiaries under this plan are going to go into Medicaid. They're not getting insurance. They're going to get Medicaid. The Heritage Foundation has just done a study that showed, it's a 2012 study, but showed that the there are more people in the emergency room at our hospitals seeking free care who were Medicaid-treated patients than people who are completely uninsured. We're talking about people getting tetanus and ringworm and all kinds of failures to diagnose, breast cancers that just don't go observed because Medicaid pays 50 cents on the dollar for what insurance pays. A lot of people were promised this is going to be great for you. Many of them are young people. Many of them are minorities that supported this president, supported these policies. They're going to be the hardest hit by these kinds of policies. This minimum wage is no different. The very groups, minorities are disproportionately at this unemployment, at this minimum wage job level, and young people, two groups that were very, very supportive of the president. Instead of tempting himself with political gamesmanship, he should be leading and explaining, this will harm you. It might give me an advantage against the Republicans, but this will harm you. As president, I'm interested in the broader interest of the nation. Gaining an advantage of a few pennies or even a few dollars to push people technically over the poverty line while destroying 500,000 or as much as a million lives is absolutely a terrible, terrible trade-off. And it is, I note with irony, that it is mostly going to happen to the very people who support this administration the most.
Yeah, somehow that never seems to come out. Do you think Congress is going to back this up? Do you think it's really going to kick in?
Absolutely. I'm not convinced at all that the purpose of this has anything to do with getting Congress to do it and has everything to do with getting the public heading into midterm elections to be skeptical that the party that holds the party out of power should be rewarded for holding the president accountable. We absolutely need the opportunity to explain just how harmful these kinds of policies are. We see issue after issue after issue where the work ethic, the only real key way for people to succeed and prosper in America, is undermined. Welfare programs take away the work requirement. Higher taxes for people who are creators and innovators and who take risks. A wholesale redistribute income scheme that really says if you have resources, be very, very careful about it. And so billions, if not trillions, sit on the sidelines, and it exacerbates the very income inequality problem that the president says he's trying to fix. Again, and the very people that support him the most are often the people that are going to suffer the most.
Yeah, no kidding. I mentioned at the top of this, Horace, that you were with the U.S. Department of Labor, and obviously you're a smart man. We've talked to you before about with all your acumen with the Constitution and whatnot. If you had a chance to do something and come up with a different sort of a plan to help solve this problem of joblessness or underemployed, underreported true statistics, I think, what would you do if you had a crack at it?
I would say if you're a new hire or if you've been unemployed for more than, say, 6 months, if you get a job, you're going to be exempt from having to pay your share of the Social Security, unemployment, Medicaid, and your employer does for at least 6 months. That'll make you a very, very attractive hire. That's a 15 to 17% cost savings. Two, I would say that any employer who would like to bring on board new employees would be able to get up to a $2,500 tax credit against their taxes for the first 2 years that they keep people on board. Three, we ought to be saying to people who are living in inner city zip codes where we know high concentrations of unemployment are occurring, that we're going to offer the children in those communities the opportunity to go to better schools, requiring them to get at least a B-plus average so that they will graduate and be eligible for scholarships and compete and go out into the real workforce. If we did three things like that, you would have a long way toward actually reorienting the way government does, encouraging work, encouraging sacrifice, encouraging good behavior, rather than doing what we do right now, which is punishing all of those.
Yeah, great suggestions. Horace, why don't you run? Have you ever thought of running?
I used to work in the sausage factory. I stay away from sausage now.
I love that. All right, always fun to talk to you. Horace Cooper, thanks so much. Project 21, we appreciate it.
Thank you.
It's no secret that silver is one of the oldest known natural antibiotics, but the mainstream media will never tell we the people this information. Why? Many drug companies and politicians have dangerous alliances that manipulate the way we live by prescribing drugs that only manage disease, keeping us dependent on Big Pharma. And with Obamacare at our doorstep, we are now forced into a system that many of us do not want any part of. And no man or government has the right to dictate how we as free people choose to take care of our health. The patriots at utopiasilver.com hold this truth dear. Colloidal and ionic silver supplements from utopiasilver.com open the door to a whole new world of natural healing for the body and the mind. Visit utopiasilver.com and discover the safe and effective health benefits of colloidal and ionic silver. Call 888-213-4338, 888-213-4338, and talk to the patriots at utopiasilver.com, a leading source of natural healing using colloidal silver, colloidal gold, minerals, vitamins, and herbs. utopiasilver.com.
Not just an alternative to the mainstream media. We're the premier independent talk radio network. We are GCN.
Great news, pure water lovers. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has a special discount offer for all GCN listeners. You can't do better than a Big Berkey for economy. For only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. There's none better than a Big Berkey for emergency preparedness as a backup water source. And you just can't beat a Big Berkey to remove dangerous chlorine, all types of fluoride, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, and unhealthy bacteria. byproducts from municipal water. Berkey water filter systems are even powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. For the gold standard in water filters, get a Big Berkey at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And all GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. For details, call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
Now you can get the same survival food U.S. Special Forces use on their toughest field missions. High protein, high energy freeze-dried foods known as long-range patrol rations or LRPs. Soldiers love LRP rations. They're lightweight and easy to carry. Easy to prepare by just adding water. Easy to enjoy because they taste great. Civilians love LRPs as a solution for emergency preparedness and recreational activities with limited storage space, such as hiking, climbing, sailing, or RV travel. Veteran-owned Freeze-Dry Guy is your exclusive source for this 2013 U.S. military overrun. Long on nutrition, these delicious entrees have a long shelf life lasting decades. But this rare opportunity, this limited supply, will not last long. You have to act now. Call 866-404-3663, 866-404-FOOD, or log on now to freezedryguy.com, freezedryguy.com.
Question: could too many GMO foods and toxins be overloading your digestive and immune systems? Answer: yes. If you're searching for a powerful detox that's gentle enough to use every day, use Pro-EM-1 from Terriganix. Pro-EM-1 is a powerful liquid probiotic that uses good bacteria to suppress pathogens and gently eliminate toxins from your body. A healthy digestive system will cleanse and remove toxins, support weight loss, improve absorption of food nutrients, and aid in controlling yeast and other infections. Pro-EM-1 is made with only non-GMO and certified organic ingredients, has no preservatives, and is dairy, soy, wheat, and gluten-free. Pro-EM-1 is the key to your digestive health. Order Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terriganix.com, spelled Terriganix.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Also available through Amazon Prime. Pro-EM-1 from Terriganix. Life's getting better.
In 1965, this was the sound. Come this is done. One more time, one more time, one more time. Where is she? Pedal drag. Papa's got a brand new bag. Come to mama.
I don't have any shots or anything for it, so I was kind of worried. I share an apartment with five other guys, but I don't think there's any risk to get it or anything. As long as you know, you just stay cleanly.
All right, so what's he talking about? We're talking about the mumps at Fordham. Have you ever heard about these outbreaks? Sure you have. That's that argument over what do you need? What do you need to be vaccinated for? Have you ever had the measles? Have you ever had the mumps? Have you ever had chicken pox? And lately there's a concern because we've seen this and a lot of it spreads through students. So that's where we're at in this segment here on America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. How many of you, I mean, that's an interesting question. How many of you listening right now, how many of you have had vaccinations for all of those things and have never had them? It used to be that there was panic if you had a child that didn't have the measles. You wanted them to get the measles because you wanted it to be over with. There were some parents that wanted to see their kids go through that because they didn't want to have to worry about it, that something would happen. It can be very dangerous in small kids and, of course, in pregnant women, especially the German measles. And I didn't have any of that. I had none of it. I had vaccinations. I never had any of that. And I don't remember a lot of discussions in the schools that I went. We didn't have that problem either. Now they're seeing that kids are coming in from other areas. I've talked about this before. Learned a lot at the conference with all those top rock star scientists and doctors about the obvious thing, how we're moving around in the world. We're so mobile that a lot of that can get transferred, where before you were sticking in communities and you still could have outbreaks. They didn't happen as much, or it wasn't as easy to transmit it as it is now because of the travel from so many different countries. Nathan, have you ever had any? Did you have chicken pox or mumps, measles, any of that?
I had chicken pox.
Ooh, you did? What was that like?
Well, I was probably about 5 or 6, so I don't remember too much of it. I remember just itching.
Itchy?
Oh, just... Oh, it felt so good to just scratch everywhere.
Oh!
I've got one chicken pox mark on my forehead left from that.
Only one?
Yeah.
That's pretty good. That's good, because... You know, sometimes that can linger for people, and it can be deadly.
Yeah. Well, I was in Vermont at the time, and I don't remember where I got it, but, you know, I've definitely heard and seen, you know, shows that make fun of this, like have a give the kids chicken pox parties, or, you know, they all give each other so they don't have to worry about it later.
Yeah, because they're worried about that. They're worried about when they get older. And those conversations, I can remember those, but I did not go to any of them, and I never had them. And when I was at this conference, there was, like, two people that raised their hands. They never had the measles, and they said, be careful because of how... And then when you're older, too, as you get older... That's when it can be dangerous on either end of that.
Did you have the measles or mumps or chicken
pox? No, none of them. Zip. None.
Did you get vaccinated for those things?
Yes. Yeah. I had none.
Cool.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it is good because I didn't, like I said, I don't remember. It would be so foreign to me when someone would say, did you know that so-and-so had the measles? And that's the one I could remember people talking about. So-and-so had the measles and... I would say, I don't know, because it didn't seem like it swept through the school either. But like I said, now with travel, that's becoming a lot different. We're seeing that in San Francisco, there was the kid that rode the BART, which is their train, and they were talking to a whole bunch of people concerned about the outbreak there and trying to warn people since he was carrying that and broke out in it. And in Asia, they don't get vaccinated. A lot of people aren't vaccinated at all. It goes back to that whole thing. And then somebody gets it and it spreads. And in a campus, because that was Fordham, you heard those students from Fordham, that's where there is a concern because it's very quick to spread. You have compact amount of people in a small space. It's just like the cruise ships with the norovirus. Well, why are they getting that? Because people aren't washing their hands. Somebody has the virus. They touch a rail. They touch anything. Somebody else goes by. Their hand hits it. And it's just so easy to spread. The whole hand washing thing, personally, folks, I don't get that. I mean, I can't think of anything worse than somebody comes out of a bathroom and they haven't washed their hands. I don't get it. To me, that just seems like such a layup. Like, why wouldn't you do it? It boggles my mind. No matter where I am, you go in, you see like the little employee thing. Employees must wash their hands or whatever. And I think, why wouldn't they wash their hands? It takes 2 seconds. Why is this such a big deal? But I see it constantly. And they say women are the worst. Not the best. They're the worst that they don't wash their hands. And in traveling, I saw that and I thought, wow, that is crazy. Then they're touching things and I'm not like OCD. If I was OCD, I'd be more freaked out about it, or a germaphobe. But watching, I can see how these things get transmitted. Viruses, influenza, all of that. I can see it. I used to make fun of the people that walked around with the masks. Now I'm not so sure, because maybe they're the smart ones. It might look a little weird. Maybe they're smart, because they know people are just hacking up a lung, not covering their mouth, spewing things, and they're in a tight space. All right, let's switch gears. Much better than they're doing at the Daytona 500, by the way. We'll click into gear here. How about this story that is so big, and we've talked about it. The Department of Homeland Security last week came up with this great proposal, right? They came up with the idea of tapping information from a nationwide network of automatic license plate readers that would be operated by commercial and law enforcement types. So the plan, the idea, came to light in a department solicitation last week. And, you know, it goes to the whole thing of let's collect more information. I mean, are you kidding? I mean, this is another reason to care about license plate tracking. Do you think that's fair or foul? Do you like the idea that the license readers scan all the cars that cross their whatever their path, they take the photos, they gather the tag numbers, mark the locations? So now all that information, which is already used, by the way, to catch fugitive aliens and all that kind of stuff, that kind of technology, but what about the regulating the scanner programs? For goodness sake, we are the land of regulation, except for when it comes to people's privacy. And where are we treading on the line? I mean, it's like this. How easy would it be to extort money from someone? There was that story about the D.C. police lieutenant who ended up pleading guilty in the late 90s to basically ripping people off, ripping money off from customers of a gay bar. He took down the license plate numbers of the targets, threatened to expose what they were doing, their lifestyle, if they didn't pay up. And then the Wall Street Journal, not too long ago, I want to say about a year ago, maybe a little bit before that, they talked about that case, and that's, I think, how that really broke open, when they looked at the plate scanning programs and what are some of the concerns to try to keep it in check. And, of course, D.C. has the highest concentration of license plate scanners in the nation. And they keep the information longer for 3 years. The Boston Police Department suspended the automatic license reader program last year because they inadvertently released a database of more than 68,000 cars that had triggered alarms on the scanners. That's nice. Yeah, don't worry. We're collecting your information. It's for your own good. And, oh, that's right. We released it all out there. So that's that whole, can you protect our information? So they actually came up with a bill that would stop the police from holding information for more than 48 hours without a court order. And they're still looking at the scanner program in Boston. Still are. And for reasons that make sense. Here's another one. In New York, they took photos and collected license plate numbers of mosque congregants, right? People that were going to the mosque around 2006. And they described what was going on as tactics normally reserved for criminal organizations. The Minneapolis Police Department last year released information on over 2 million license plate scans and GPS location tags in response to a public records request. And that sparked a lot of concern about misuse of the information and prompted the city's mayor to ask that a state committee immediately reclassify the information as non-public. So there would be some reasons to look at this. Because if they improperly use it, and then, or if they get hacked into and they have the information, that's not very good for you or for me if we're one of the people that have been dealt that card. So there's a reason to sit up and pay attention to what's happening with the scanning of the license plate, for sure. Stay with us. Coming up on the flip side, a crazy 911 call, but on the other end of it, a very scary situation.
We travel so much, and having a fake TV, well, it gives added peace of mind.
Burglars look for houses that appear to be easy targets. But fake TV can fool even professional burglars into thinking someone is home watching television.
As a recent widow living alone, it gives me great peace of mind to set my fake TV near a window and know that passing motorists and pedestrians will think someone is home watching TV when I'm actually away from home.
Fake TV easily plugs into any outlet, just like a light on a timer.
And they're so easy to use, you just plug them in and they're ready to go. Plus, they're so affordable that we have one upstairs and downstairs.
Fake TV is only $29.95 with free shipping. Order your Fake TV by calling 877-5-FAKE-TV or go to faketv.com. That's 877-532-5388 or faketv.com. Fake TV, the burglar deterrent.
Do you owe the IRS money that you can't pay? Are tax liens and levies ruining your life? Are you tired of being afraid just to go to the mailbox? If this describes you, then Dan Pilla can help.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been solving tax problems for more than 30 years. In fact, I wrote the book that made it possible to negotiate settlements with the IRS, and I've helped thousands of people do exactly that. Call now at 800-346-6829 to learn how I can help you. You know your IRS debt will not go away by itself, but you don't have to live in fear anymore. New changes to IRS policies will help more people than ever before eliminate their debts once and for all. There's no need for you to suffer another day with IRS debt. Call 800-346-6829. I can help you eliminate wage and bank levies, release tax liens, and negotiate a settlement with the IRS that will put your tax nightmare behind you forever. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, taxhelponline.com. That's taxhelponline.com.
We live in a complicated society. Stressful issues are always popping up. Have you ever been treated unfairly by someone? Have you ever been overcharged for a repair? Have you ever signed a contract or a document, worried about identity theft? How many times have you been in those unique situations where you just wanted to call an attorney to find out if you're right or wrong, or what your legal rights are? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what do you think about first? That's right. Who do you call, and how much will it cost? Our friends at Legal Shield have found a solution. With a nationwide network of 6,900 attorneys who average 19 years of experience, Legal Shield's law firms take over 40,000 calls per week helping their members. For less than $20 per month, you can have access to Legal Shield on everything from the trivial to the traumatic. Let Legal Shield stand up for your rights at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com. Or call 855-340-SAVE, 855-340-7283.
Only thinks about the. You got a real big heart, but I'm looking at you. You got real big brains, but I'm looking at you. Girl, it ain't no pain in me looking at you.
I don't give a keep looking at my, cause it don't mean a thing if you're looking at my. I'm gonna do my thing.
Right to the red light. He's rolling right to the red light. There he goes. Right to the red light. Ah! Somebody needs to get out here and get this guy quick.
No headlights. He's ran over a couple of traffic cones. He's swerving, and he's been following us for a little while.
Wow, scary stuff. Have you ever been in a car and you see somebody driving without lights that just keeps barreling down in a direction near you on the road? Yep. That's what happened, and that was what that call was about. The 911 call, and we've certainly heard them before that was released that talked about the joyride that could have went awry. And unfortunately, that's what, I mean, this has sort of become a new thing. I don't know if it's not like drag racing or playing chicken or something, but to do that and have people immediately, and they're smart, to jump on and say, listen, there's something going on here, and you need to stop it. It looks like kids, we're not sure who it is. You got to do something to end this nightmare. And I love it when I talk about whether or not to release calls. I mean, here is a case where it was smart, I think, to release the call because it points out how a 911 call could save lives, otherwise ending up in a crash, otherwise ending up in a situation where somebody's killed because of some idiot driving the wrong way, messing around with the lights off, or, you know, whatever. And there's also the example of, for as many times as we can bag on the cell phone or somebody being on the cell phone, having the cell phone makes that possible so you can try to stop them and have them, you know, have the cops on them. And you look at the what happens, too, so often with the dispatchers. It's like the there just was this story that came out of, I read it, I think, in Vegas, about a dispatcher who hung up on a 911 caller now that doesn't, they don't work for the city anymore, and it was terrible. That what happened was the they have had sources inside that say that the operator hung up on a caller who found his mom dead. They uncovered it during a three-month investigation, one of the local news teams in Vegas did. The fire department says they're tired of talking about it and they didn't want to comment on it, but a man called 911 and a Metro police dispatcher answered. She tried to find out where he was, and at that point the call was transferred to the back to the operator so she could send somebody medical. And unfortunately, what ended up happening was the hang-up, like, what are you talking about? And on the other side, they were saying, listen, she's not breathing. And finally, the person on the other end let out an expletive, why aren't you paying attention? Why aren't you doing anything? And then, boom, that's what happened. And, of course, they had some inconsistencies with the story. The ultimate end result was because of the hang-up, by the time they ended up getting to the house, it was too late. It was too late. By the time they'd gotten there, they you know, with no address, all that stuff, it was too late, and the person died, which prompted that whole investigation thing and a closer look in Vegas, anyway, at the 911 operator's role and how quickly they get someone to a scene or how quickly they dispatch or dispense somebody because they don't think it's real or they think it's some kind of a crank call. Now, of course, the problem with that is how many crank calls do they get? You know, that's the other side of the coin is that. How many of those are you getting, right, in the mix, which leads them to initially act that way? Like, okay, here we go again, and there must be some protocol for it. It's, you know, after hearing these, and I used to just totally bang on the operator, but after hearing some of these, sometimes I think there's not, whatever it is, there's not a right system in place or something because of what falls through the cracks. As many times as something doesn't fall through the cracks, there are so many other examples that we don't even hear where it happens. We have a couple of other odds and ends to mix in before we hit the top of the hour here on this segment of America Tonight. And one of them is the Olympics, because so many of you are asking me to tell you more about what's happening on the Olympic side of things and how many medals do we have. And are we in the lead? And what's going to happen in day 14? And there are a lot of great chances for some medals coming up on day 14. But the U.S. is in the lead, woohoo, with the medals right now. Just by one, but that's okay. That doesn't matter. We'll take it, right? To have the lead is to have the lead. So the U.S. has the most medals in front of Russia just by one. I have a feeling it's that back and forth thing. There's nothing like the local crowds to get you rallied. And you could see that. You could see that with the figure skating. You could see it in some of the other venues. Like we did in Vancouver, if you remember, in Canada, same thing there. So the U.S. has 25 medals right now. And when it's all said and done, I think they're at least somewhere into the 30s, maybe even beyond that. So might even do better than that. I think the sad story on the day, on Thursday, was the fact that the U.S. hockey team, the women's hockey team, had a chance for a gold medal, and the four other previous Olympics, they were beaten for the gold by the Canadians, and it came down to the Canadians and the Americans again. And the unfortunate part of it is the Americans had a two-goal lead with less than 4 minutes to play. Canadians scored twice. Now they've tied it up. Goes into overtime, and the Canadians scored. You knew it was fate then. One, they get the gold, and the U.S. got the silver. And their faces told the whole story. Such somber faces. Some of them crying. You could go out on any website right now, and they've got team pictures of Team USA. There is not a smile to be found in that bunch. Because they thought they had it in the bag, I guess. Maybe it's so disappointing to have the edge and to just give it up in those final moments. Wow. It was a pretty exciting thing to watch. And some people would say, well, it was predictable that the U.S. wasn't going to win it. But I don't know. With the lead, they were looking good. They just blew it. As for the U.S. men's hockey team, they play Canada. I think a lot of people will be skipping out early on Friday to catch that. Noon, the puck drops East Coast time. And if the men get past Canada, then they go to the gold medal round on Sunday, and that's going to be a really early game, I'm certain of it. Because you have the closing ceremonies coming up later. And then that's it for Russia. They put the games to bed, and that's it. But there are still some pretty big athletes to watch, and I think the hockey team certainly is one of them. And a lot of people were looking at curling. For some reason, I mean, curling is so huge to so many people. Curling, and then I think some of the half pipe stuff, and Maddie Bowman of the United States won the first ever gold in women's Olympic halfpipe skiing, which is very, very cool. Canada won the gold medal in the women's Olympic curling on Thursday. They beat Sweden 6-3, and they avenged their big loss in Vancouver to the Swedes because they lost there in 2010, so they came back. But still, the U.S. has the lead in the medal count. Woohoo! Go USA!
It's that time of year again, and you know what that means. Cold and flu season. But don't worry. HerbalHealer.com has you and your loved ones covered with our safe and natural products. Cold and flu fighters like beta-glucans, olive leaf antiviral capsules, grapefruit seed extract, HHA 4-herb capsules, elderberry power, and respirate. And don't forget about oregacillin for the lungs, normally $34.95, on sale now for only $25. Vitamin D3 120-count soft gels, only $9. Whole body and homeopathic detoxes for the lungs, kidneys, liver, lymph, and brain, normally $26.95, now just $20. HerbalHealer.com also offers correspondence courses to teach you how to handle your health naturally. And as always, new customers get a free 128-page catalog with your order. Visit HerbalHealer.com and click the Winter Specials button to save on our natural cold and flu fighting products. HerbalHealer.com, healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.